Hello, friends. Welcome to the show. If you couldn't tell by my pale skin and cat fur encrusted clothing, it is me, Chris Rice. I'm here today to tell you about a few of my favorite books. If you ever get tired of watching my channel and hearing me ramble about psychedelic drugs, maybe you can pick up a couple of these books instead. They probably sell them at your local bookstore, but they definitely sell 99% of them, if not all of them, at Amazon.com. So let's start with probably the first book I read in this catalog here. This is The Unbearable Lightness of Being by Milan Kundera. It's on the surface level, it is just a book about a fling between a man and a woman in Prague during a revolution in the late 60s, which is interesting enough in and of itself. However, there's a much more deep philosophical meaning to this book. As you may have ascertained by the title, The Unbearable Lightness of Being, it is about the weight, like an existential weight of existence. Highly recommend this book. It's not about psychedelic drugs in any way. I know a lot of you tune into this channel just to hear about that, but it is definitely food for thought and worth examining. So, The Unbearable Lightness of Being. I have an older edition, so I don't think it necessarily has this cover anymore. This is a version that came out immediately after the film was produced, which I think happened in the 80s. But yeah, check that out. Let's see what else I got here. The Bhagavad Gita, as it is. Technically, this is by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhakti Vedanta Swami Prabhupada, right? But it's actually a much older text. Basically, the Hare Krishna movement, the Krishna consciousness movement, adopted the older version of the Bhagavad Gita into this modern adaptation in which it gives both the literal text and the Krishna consciousness movement's interpretation of the text. It's a very trippy and powerful book. I don't know if anybody's ever had any experience with, you know, Hinduism, Buddhism, the Vedic religions in general, or even has found themselves a fan of, say, like Duncan Trussell's podcast. He definitely talks about this a lot, but I've had this book for several years before that. One of my best friends growing up, I accidentally convinced him to go and become a Buddhist monk. Whoops. And that he actually got this book and ended up gifting it to me. So I'm definitely glad. Thank you, Sean Lesperance, for giving me this book. Unless I stole it from you, but I don't think so. I don't do that. So thanks for the book. Yeah, very trippy, very very much in line with a lot of the stuff I talk about on my channel. In fact, again, the Vedic books are, you know, regularly discussed in Cannabis Lost History, DMT Lost History as well. But yeah, I highly recommend this book as well. You probably won't be able to get it with this specific cover. This is kind of like a weird, rare edition. I have not seen that on Amazon or whatever, but yeah, Henry David Thoreau is actually quoted on the back talking about how enlightening this book was to him. Ralph Waldo Emerson, it was very big in the transcendental movement. There's even a quote from Gandhi here. So if Gandhi is doing your book review, you know that shit's legit. All right, next, let's move on. We're still going to be talking about books on spirituality for a moment here, I guess. But this is Be Here Now. I guarantee most of the people that are listening to this have heard of this book. This is by Ram Dass. Basically, Ram Dass was a like a psychedelic scientist, for lack of a better term, in the early 60s at Harvard. Both he and Dr. Tim Leary ended up getting fired from Harvard for giving psychedelic mushrooms to undergraduates when they had been explicitly told to only give them to graduate students. And I guess Andrew Weil was actually largely responsible for their firing. But in any event, Ram Dass like took mushrooms and he really enjoyed the experience of taking mushrooms, as one might have guessed. But he said like he felt terrible that he wasn't able to stay in that state of consciousness. So he went on a search to find a way to stay in that state of consciousness, and it brought him to India. In India, he met Neem Karoli Baba, the Maharaji, and you know, found religion, I guess. He was born and raised Jewish, but he was pretty much secular until arriving in India. And yeah, he brought back with him this information, which he ended up collecting in a book called Be Here Now. Here's just a random page I opened to. It's the book is vertical most of the time, but not always. Sometimes it is formatted like a regular book. There's lots of pictures. I don't know if you can really see this. Again, it's rooted in Eastern mysticism. And as the name of the book suggests, it is really about being here now, living in the present moment, not worrying too much about the future or festering too much on the events of the past. Because you're unable to change either of those, all you can do is be your best self in the present moment. And this book is an excellent instruction manual. In fact, I should have fucking started with this book and not The Unbearable Lightness of Being. As great of a book as that is, this is, or maybe I should have ended with this, but, you know, either way, here I am right in the middle talking about Be Here Now. This is definitely available most everywhere you can find it, and I believe the proceeds from this book actually go to the Love Serve Remember Foundation, which is Ram Dass's charity. So that's sort of a good cause as well. There's some stuff that in the back here that's kind of just devoted to Neem Karoli Baba and whatever. But there's some great exercises to follow, you know, as well as, again, the general text of the book. It is separated into a couple of different categories. There's like three different segments of the book. But my favorite is in brown paper bag, brown. The other parts of the book are in more of a white shade and not vertical. So there's a differential as well. All right, let's see what else we got here. Next, Food of the Gods by Terence McKenna. This is going to be like a top five. So, you know, Food of the Gods, The Search for the Original Tree of Knowledge, A Radical History of Plants, Drugs, and Human Evolution. And I do go into this in the documentary Sacred Mushroom, A Lost History. It, you know, this kind of covers his stoned ape theory of evolution as well as shamanism and just various other things. If you're a fan of McKenna's lectures, that's him just speaking on the fly. Listen to me speak on the fly and see how terrible I am at it, right? And just to hear Terence McKenna speak with such great verbiage, you can only imagine how excellent his writing is. I mean, it's fantastic. He is a very well-written person, much more so even than his speaking, in my opinion. And, you know, there's some great illustrations in here as well. And it basically outlines his theory for psychedelic evolution and psychedelics as the original tree of knowledge, as it were. So while we're on the same subject of psychedelics, next I wanted to talk about another great book. This is kind of more of almost like an academic reference material in a sense. But for instance, I don't think this is the case yet, but if there were ever a college that was going to talk or give courses rather on psychedelics and on entheogenic plants in particular, and especially through like an anthropological lens, I would say that this would be my textbook of choice if I were to be the professor. It's called Plants of the Gods, Their Sacred Healing and Hallucinogenic Powers by Richard Evan Schultes, Albert Hoffman, and Christian Rauch. Forgive me if I'm pronouncing that last name wrong. I am not German. But most of you probably know who Albert Hoffman is. He is the first scientist to have synthesized LSD. And the other two, I mean, Richard Evan Schultes, again, was a Harvard anthropologist. I believe that was his formal title. He traveled the world studying anthropologically the entheogens used by different cultures. And Christian Rauch, again, forgive me, he's definitely written on the subject as well. This book talks about basically every psychedelic and entheogenic plant from every culture, even some non-psychedelic ones. I think there's like mugwort and things like that in here. There's illustrations as well as botanical drawings, photographs of the different plants. And there's some really rare psychedelics in here as well. I highly, highly recommend this book. It's only like $20, something along those lines. And if you like any of the content on my channel, especially my documentaries, you'll be infatuated with this book. I mean, it has a large wealth of information. It talks about, Sinikuichi, motherwort, literally all kinds of different entheogens that you may or may not be aware of. So definitely recommend getting that. This is the, in my hand here, I believe this is the second edition. So it was published in like the early 2000s or something like that. The first edition was published in the 70s, but they collected a lot more information on entheogenic plants since then. And I do hope that in the future they will publish a third edition, because obviously with the, you know, advancements in medical imaging and stuff like that, we'll have a better understanding as we move forward of the true effects of a lot of these plants, and not necessarily just anecdotes from, you know, different cultures. And then lastly, I think I already covered five books, right? So this one's just a bonus. This is my book, Chris Rice on Culture, Small Minds, Big Business, and the Psychedelic Solution. I published this in, I believe, 2013. Notice culture is spelled like cult, sort of, with, you know, whatever. But anyway, this book is primarily just about how, kind of what's going on now, actually. It's, let me read what I wrote here. We live in a world where 1% of the population controls 46% of the wealth, while thousands of people die of starvation every day. A world where war is more profitable than developing infrastructure, and where questioning the status quo is considered sacrilege, but it hasn't always been this way. And this book basically talks about the different cultures in which we, you know, had been using psychedelics previously, and how we can move forward as a society, you know, while using psychedelics, basically to change the paradigm in which we currently live. A little bit of self-criticism about this book. One, it's only like 80-something pages long. And then secondly, I'm not sure that I was right about this. And, I've actually talked about this in my documentaries as well, primarily like at the end. I try to give that message of hope that as more people are turned on to psychedelics, the higher the likelihood that the paradigm will begin to shift. And while I generally believe this to be the case, there is the possibility too, like think about the 1960s generation, right? You know, a substantial portion of them were tripping and practicing free love and living kind of archaic lifestyles, sort of tribalism personified. Basically, I'm referring to the hippie counterculture, the ecological movement, etc. Now, you would suspect as all of those people, this is 50 years ago now, many of them had the chance to come to power, shape the paradigm in which we currently live. Unfortunately, it didn't really turn out that way. So I do hope we get a second go at that. And I hope that we can kind of amend things and make things right. I don't know, though. I don't know if people just harden as they get older, become jaded, and then move further towards the right. Obviously, there is that old adage, if you know a liberal, a young person who's not a liberal, they have no heart. An old person who's not a conservative, they have no brain, something to that effect. That, unfortunately, is not true. A lot of the liberal people are, in general, poorer, according to some USA Today article I read recently. And so they end up dying earlier than the people with money. And the people with money tend to lean more towards the right. And so, therefore, there are more older conservatives. I don't know whether or not that's true. I don't know how well they studied that. But basically what I'm trying to explain is that, you know, that generation, the generation of the hippie counterculture of the 60s, they've already come to power and nothing changed. We did not move society towards a social ecology, communalism, anything like that. In fact, a lot of the people who were part of the hippie and yippie movements of the 1960s went on to be on Wall Street and shit like that in the 80s. It's kind of a mindfuck if you ask me. But yeah, people definitely changed their perspectives as they aged. And so the world didn't end up shaping up the way that we expected it to. Obviously, the internet allows culture and information and ideas and ideologies to spread more quickly than they had done in the past. You know, maybe by us spreading information to one another and spreading awareness and intentionally making those changes, maybe we can do something. But I don't know whether or not that's going to be the case. I did read something else recently, I think it was in the BBC, that it takes only about 3.5% of the population to actually make substantial change. 3.5% of the population protesting for gay rights or marijuana or vegan food or whatever is really all it takes in order to make a paradigm shift. So I would say more than anything, we need to get together and work in unison towards whatever common goals that we have. And that is something that I discuss in my book, again, On Culture, Small Minds, Big Business, and the Psychedelic Solution. Again, it is a little bit dated. It talks about America's first attempt at causing a Syrian war, I think maybe even pre-ISIS, if I'm not mistaken. So it is a little ways back, but if you get a chance, maybe pick that up. That is available on Amazon as well. So anyway, I hope you liked my top five books that I actually have on my bookshelf. There's some other books that I would have loved to have gotten to that I don't have here in front of me. And maybe we can discuss those some other time. I also have some more kind of like academic literature about integrative medicine and stuff like that. But they're a little bit more dense, for lack of a better term. So they may not have necessarily been the best choices for this video / audio recording, wherever you're listening to this. Anyway, thanks for checking in. I think it seems like by the time this video is released, I'm going to hit 10,000 subscribers. So I just wanted to say thank you to everybody who got me to 10,000 subscribers. Thank you for spreading my videos. Thank you for sharing them far and wide. Yeah, thank you very much for that. I never expected people to, or this to be as well received as it is. And I, you know, never could have foreseen some of the stuff that's happened as a result of it. Some of which I'll end up talking about later and whatever. And legalization happening far and wide. It's astonishing to see, and it's astonishing to play a small part in. So I want to thank you very much for that, guys. All right, well, take care, and thanks for watching. Bye.